Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Friday, June the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and we're taking a look at an email sent to us entitled, The Devastating Price of False Worship. Well, David Foster Wallace was an American writer and university professor whose 1996 novel, Infinite Jest, was cited by Time magazine as one of the 100 best English language novels of the 20th century. Another of his works, The Pale King, was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction in 2012. The Los Angeles Times called Wallace, quote, one of the most influential and innovative writers of the last 20 years, unquote. Certainly, a man who seemed to have much to live for. But on September 12, 2008, at age 46, having suffered from depression for many years, Wallace committed suicide and died on the back porch of his house in Claremont, California. Just 3 years earlier, Wallace, not a Christian, had delivered a commencement speech at Kenyon College that provided a glimpse into the hollow and dangerous predicament he felt and believed people faced who were spiritually bankrupt. Worship the wrong things, Wallace said, and you are toast. This quote from him is worth your attention. This is what Wallace wrote. Because here's something else that's weird but true. In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is actually no thing as atheism. Here is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what we want to worship. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship, be it Jesus Christ or Allah, be it Yahweh or the Wiccan Mother Goddess or the Four Noble Truths or some inviolable set of ethical principles, is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough, never feel you have enough. It's the truth. Worship your body and beauty, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally grieve you. On one level, we all know this stuff already. It's been codified as myths, proverbs, cliches, epigrams, parables, the skeleton of every great story. The whole trick is keeping the truth up front in daily consciousness. Worship power, and you will end up feeling weak and afraid. And you will need ever more power over others to numb you to your own fear. Worship your intellect, thinking that you are smart. You will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. But the insidious thing about these forms of worship is not that they're evil or sinful, it's that they're unconscious. They are default settings. They're the kind of worship you just gradually slip into, day after day, getting more and more selective about what you see and how you measure value, without ever being fully aware that that is what you are doing. So, just how did false worship, and I include the phony spiritual gods, pointed out by Wallace, come to be our default setting? The Bible tells us, along with a devastating price, we all pay for it. The natural and unnatural. If you want to know how and why things have gotten so bad in the world, you don't need to look any further than the first chapter of Romans. In it, the Apostle Paul delivers a sobering look at human nature and what's caused us to descend to the bottom ring of the ladder, where we now find ourselves. Paul's argument in Romans 1 can be summarized as, 1, we know that God exists, and thus the natural thing to do is worship him. 2, however we have chosen the unnatural position of worshiping other things. 3, so God has given us over to unnatural behavior as an awful and painful judgment. We're sure seeing that existing in the United States and throughout the world today. People live contrary to the morality of the Bible and to the teachings of Jesus, and they are receiving the awful and painful judgment. As a quick aside, if you are not a Christian, don't get hung up on the word worship. It means worth-ship, to assign worth and value to something, which we all constantly do. The problem comes when we make secondary worship things primary. As French philosopher Simone Weil wrote, quote, one has only the choice between God and idolatry. There is no other possibility. For the faculty of worship is in us, and it is either directed somewhere into this world or into another. That occurred with Adam and Eve, and their fall into sin. They heard God's word. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for that will cause your death. But they listened to Satan, who said, No, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will become like God. So they began to worship themselves rather than God. The problem comes when we assign worth and value to something other than the triune God. Remember the first commandment, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What does this mean? We should love, trust, and obey the triune God. So, one only has a choice between God, and if you don't worship the true God, you are definitely in idolatry. There's no other possibility. For the faculty of worship is in us, and it is either directed somewhere into this world or into another. As Wallace pointed out, our default settings drive our worship to false things. And if that happens on a non-stop basis, we see the judgment of God that Paul spells out. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a deprived mind, to those things which are not proper. That's Romans 1, 24 and 28. So, what does a depraved mind look like? All you need to do is take a stroll down New York City's 8th Avenue. It's nicknamed the Strip of Despair. On any given day, there is stealing, stabbings, assault, drug use, and many other things, which are the norm. The Apostle Paul defines the depraved mind as being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit. And he continues, there are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrusty, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of eternal death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Romans 1, 29 to 32. That's the attitude of many in the world today. They just cannot accept God's will, as found in Holy Scripture. and therefore they no longer acknowledge the true God. And God allows them to do those things which are not proper. So, collectively, that's a heavy price to pay for false worship in any society, both for the false worshiper and everyone around them. It's an infection that poisons everything and causes conflict everywhere. C.S. Lewis uses the following analogy in Mere Christianity to explain this. He writes, "You can get the idea plain if you think of us as a fleet of ships sailing in formation. But the voyage will be a success only in the first place if the ships do not collide and get in one another's way. And secondly, if each ship is seaworthy and has her engines in good order. As a matter of fact, you cannot have either of these two things without the other. If the ships keep on having collisions, they will not remain seaworthy very long." A good example of that is, of course, the Titanic, one of the biggest cruise ships ever built. And people thought it could not possibly sink. But it only took a piece of ice to cut through the bow, allow water to come in. And it was not able to avoid that collision. If you like, think of humanity as a band playing a tune. To get a good result, you need two things. Each player's individual instrument must be in tune, and also each must come in at the right moment so as to combine with all the others. That's why you have someone up front, a director, directing the band or the orchestra. Without him, it's really hard. For example, Mozart lost his hearing, and until he had a woman help him to direct the orchestra, he did not know how to do it. But with her help, he got each player to be in tune, and each one came in at the right moment so as to combine with all the others. Now, the biblical antidote to these collisions in a culture is to direct our worship to its proper target, the Holy Trinity, who created us and everything we see. Anything else falls short, as John MacArthur says. The only faith that makes any sense is faith that has an object that can deliver what you expect when you receive that faith from the Holy Spirit. there's only one of those objects out there. That being true, the natural thing is to worship the true God alone. Because if you do not, false worship has a devastating price. Take a look at the parable of the sheep and the goats. The sheep end up going to heaven because of their faith in Jesus Christ. The goats end up going to hell because of their unbelief in Jesus Christ. That's the God we have. A God who will end up giving a devastating price of false worship. It's not that God does not want you to have the true faith. He certainly does. But too many people reject what God wants them to do. They fall into sin. And that sin results in false worship. They worship what they think is important, not what God says is important. That's why the Christian church needs to be aware of false worship and move congregations away from such false worship. I mean, how many people still believe that the way you get to heaven is by doing good works? And through those good works, you save yourself. In fact, every other religion outside of the Christian faith teaches that. You're saved by how you behave and your good works. But of course, that means you're doing a good work in order to get rewarded. And God will not permit that. Nobody gets going to heaven as a reward. You go to heaven as a gift from Jesus Christ, who died on the cross in such a way that he paid the price for the forgiveness of your sins. And therefore, you have nothing to fear. Heaven will be your home. But it's also our task, while we are here on earth, to share that good news with those who remain in the darkness of unbelief. Because we want many people to rejoice and take joy in the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And what is that gospel message? You are not saved by any works you do. You are saved by the works of Jesus Christ. That's what's really good. So, there's two religions. The natural one, where you follow a worship that is contrary to the Word of God. And the revealed one, where you hear from Jesus what is the will of God and what is his plan for your salvation. This was a plan that did not originate with you. It's not on the basis of your doing good. It's on the basis of your doing bad and being forgiven, which means God no longer holds you accountable for your sins. That's the message of the gospel. And yet so many people cannot seem to receive that because they want to worship the way they want to worship, which means they're going to follow what they want to do rather than hear what Jesus says. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and follow it. What a tremendous gift, and certainly shows the devastating price of false worship. I'm Tom Baker. Join us Monday for more on Law and Gospel. Until then, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.